Support for the Great Quad Cities Listen on WVIK comes from the Joyce and Tony Singh Family Foundation.
I'm Dave Geenan, and I live in Rock Island, Illinois.
And I'm Rick Myers. I have lived in Rock Island for a good portion of my life.
The two met when Dave became the pastor at Rick's church. Now, though Dave is no longer a pastor, they remain friends. Dave invited Rick to the WVIK studios to ask him about his 36-year teaching career for the Great Quad Cities Listen.
What are your memories of growing up in Rock Island? Where did you live in Rock Island?
I actually lived right behind the junior high school I attended. My grandparents built the house. And I've located pictures of both of them looking out the windows in a partially constructed there. So it's kind of a neat family history type of thing.
Was that Washington Junior
High? Right behind Washington Junior High School there. Most of my formative years were spent in the schoolyard there throwing sand at my best friends. Ended up being my best friend's wife, and she reminds me of that periodically.
So grew up in the Rock Island School District. Post high school, did you stay here for college?
Went just down the road a piece, Galesburg, Knox College graduate there. I always had an interest in reading and especially history. I've been a history geek for a good many years.
Where do you think that comes from?
I had a grandmother who taught in a one-room schoolhouse out in Iowa. I can always remember, and I give my mother credit for this. She was some of my youngest memories is her reading to me. Now, I was never a big fan of poetry, but I can still remember some of the poems that she had a children's book of poetry, and there's some things that I'm hiding, but no one knows where, because all they can see are my toes and my hair type of thing. And I have no idea what poem that was, but I can remember her reading that to me. And I think that's one of the best things that an adult can do with a child is read.
Knox College, you studied history, graduated, and moved back to Rock Island?
I did. Some people think this wasn't didn't have much of a of an ambition in life in a sense, but I had a great experience in school, in public schools coming up through, and it was always my goal to come back to my high school and teach and coach and give kids the hopefully give them the good experience that I had when I went through. So that was my goal, and I got to do that.
Rock Island hired you right out of college?
Not directly out of college. I went from the Ivy Towers, you know, a liberal arts college where the theoretical we study, to working for the County Highway Department, plowing snow in the wintertime. And here is the practical, and I'm telling you, the some of the guys that I worked with were they taught me as many lessons, you know, as I received elsewhere in formal education.
And starting your teaching career at Rock Island High School, did you start out in the history department?
It was social studies. I'd taught in geography, American history, some civics, that sort of thing. But I had 30 years teaching in Rock Island. About half of those years were spent just in American history.
Towards the end of your tenure, you retired out of Rock Island High School as the AP U.S. history teacher, and you got a government grant. I think that may be something you talk about as your legacy of what you did at Rock Island.
Our technology director put me onto this, and he helped me significantly, but I wrote a grant, secured a grant for interviewing World War II veterans. And it wasn't me, I mean my students. And it was a total voluntary type of thing. And it was probably the best thing. I mean, if I was to look at, say, all right, Rick, there's one thing that you did that was really worthwhile in your estimation, what was it? This would be it. Students got to sit down and talk to the people who took part in this, and some of the realizations that they came up. They would do the interviewing. They would do the editing, deciding. They would ask the questions. They would do all of the work. I would sit back and stay out of their way, and they were wonderful at it. They were just outstanding.
And this was videotaped,
right. And one of the really nice things is the veterans, the bond you could see. Because once I got the introductions done, I stepped back out of the way and they interacted. And it was really a nice, nice situation. And
for a time when we don't see two generations really mingling, I think you told me once what was really interesting in this whole thing was how much in common the veterans had with the high school students at the time.
Well, what was odd about the whole situation, I shouldn't say odd, one thing that occurred to many of the students, you could almost see them, the veil, you know, lift from their faces like, oh, my word, they weren't much older than I am right now. And here they're off going to places where, you know, they could only read about. You know,
serving on a submarine.
Oh, that sort of thing, and flying. And here's someone who at that time when they were serving was flying a plane, which would be a multi-million dollar, and said, and, you know, they would only be 18, 20 years old. And here they put me in charge of this whole plane, and they said, without as much training as what you might think. And all of a sudden the students realized, oh, I guess me having too much homework or me not being able to get a date for homecoming really isn't as big a problem at this age as some of the things that some of them dealt with.
And these were all local Quad City veterans?
Pretty much. If they didn't start in the Quad Cities, they ended up here. So that's how we ended up. So
we're going to move a little fast forward. Post-retirement, you did a little bit more of the capturing the stories, but you were involved in an interesting project that I wondered if you could share with us about. One of the other things that I would attribute to your contributions to the culture and remembering the stories of Rock Island.
This just evolved. It wasn't by plan. But I for a number of years, I've been one of a group that have led reunion tours of the high school. And, of course, you hear a whole world of different stories from different classes, and they've always been of interest to me. But one class I took through, I made mention that in this particular room, all the old newspapers were stored. And I made mention, I said, before I die, I'd love to get these posted online.
The
school newspapers, right. And a week later, I got a thank you by the email that said, thanks, Rick, for the tour. Appreciated it immensely. When you want to get started scanning those newspapers? And we scanned all the newspapers, posted those online.
How far do they go back?
Well, there's an evolution. They used to take all the newspapers, put them together at the end of the year, and that's how they would largely make the yearbook. So it was a combination. But I think we go back, we have some things from 1910. But at any rate, it splits, and that's kind of an involved story in a sense. At any rate, we end up scanning the yearbooks. And after that was all done, Doug Frazier, I have to give credit for him, to him says, it's always been my goal to write a book on the history of Rock Island High School. What do you think? And I said, well, we've done all of this. We're halfway home there to begin with. And so we took a book, and it's not meant to be an encyclopedia of everything that happened, but we thought we'd pick some things out and, kind of showcase, hey, this is, if you're a graduate or if you had attended Rock Island High School, here's some things that have gone on that you might not be aware, and hopefully just, sponsor some pride and accomplishment that, this is no slouch of a educational institution here. And of course, it's not all. There are some. I mean, we also covered the riots of 1972, which is not it's not a positive thing that you'd normally point to, but it happened and it was of great interest.
What surprised you most about doing this book?
I think, and it kind of goes with the teaching of history in general. I think perspective. There's an awful lot of things that get put into perspective, and as going through, you'll hear people complain about, oh, the younger, the freshmen can't do it. And you can go back into the newspapers and read in the 1920s or 1930s complaints, the same things going on. It was going on then as it is now. So sometimes it gives you a great perspective, and it kind of brings a smile to your face that, there are some new things, some new challenges that we face, but there's an awful lot of challenges and things that aren't new under the sun. You know, we've done this thing before, you know. So.
One other question before we move on from the book. Wondered if you wanted to maybe share some names, because then there's a section in this book about famous graduates. And I don't think people realize the contributions of people who were trained and educated in our Rock Island School District that went on to do great things.
Well, I won't go through everything. You can buy this book on Amazon, by the way, and all the proceeds from this go to the Education Foundation. It doesn't go into our pockets at all. So I don't feel too bad about plugging the book a little bit. But we have an astronaut. We have a person who's been in space, was a Rock Island High School graduate, as well as a whole host of athletic achievements and such. We've had scientists, and we've had a whole slew of different people from different walks of life. That was kind of fun. I've had a few people come up to me, Rick, you should have put so-and-so. Okay, we'll get that in volume two, type of thing. But it, as I said, it's not supposed to be an encyclopedia of everything that happened. But we just picked out things that we thought would interest the reader. And so that's the purpose.
How many years did you teach at the high school or in your whole teaching career?
I had a total of 36 years. And I
think this is probably a question you probably are asked a lot, but how had teaching changed throughout your career from beginning to end? What were some of the joys that you saw in that or the frustrations of what had changed?
If there's one thing that dismays me more than anything else, I had a profession that I dearly loved. And I can't wholeheartedly advise people to go into it for the only reason is because I think teachers are held accountable for things that they have no control over whatsoever, and I think criticized unfairly. Now there's some people in any walk, in any business, any job that are deficient, but by and large there's precious little that teachers won't do for students. By and large, you can find exceptions to the rule, of course. But that's pretty. I think that's probably the main criticism that I would have, or the complaint, not criticism, but complaint. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I know that you and your family, and especially you and our time together throughout the years, have enriched my life. And I think once you're a teacher, you're always a teacher. And the life lessons and the support you've offered me through the years are one of the reasons I invited you to come sit down and talk to us, because I think your story and your outlook on life is something that we need to be reminded of and hear of more often. So thanks for spending the hour with me, Rick.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
Dave Geenan and Rick Myers for the Great Quad Cities Listen. If you'd like to share your story as part of the Great Quad Cities Listen, sign up for a time and place to record at greatqclisten.org. Support for this project comes from the Joyce and Tony Singh Family Foundation.